first of all, a very happy feast, until my mother reverted to the Latin Rite. This was always Christmas Day in the Byzantine Rite. There are so many things we can speak on today's Feast of the Epiphany. We know what the Epiphany means. It means manifestation. In the early church, three feast days were celebrated on one day. The Feast of Christ's birth at Bethlehem, the Feast of His Baptism in the Jordan, and today's Feast of the Magi. We know historically what happened. Having first manifested himself to his own people, where the angels appeared to the shepherds at Bethlehem, then he wanted to include the whole rest of the world, including ourselves. The Magi represent the large Gentile world, which was, in the time of Christ, by all odds, most of the human race. We could profitably expand on the mystery of Christ's epiphany or manifestation, but I thought we should draw the lesson that if Christ manifested himself, and he has now gone back to heaven, he wants us to, you might say, perform the epiphany for him, to manifest him, especially in our lives. The mysteries of our faith, as we know, are not only, what a safe statement, truths to be believed with the mind, they are also, and with emphasis, mysteries that are to be lived out by us. We are to live today's feast. In other words, the apostolate of good example. That is the topic of our conference. The apostolate of good example. Lest we have any doubt about how important it is for us to give a good example to others, we've only to remind ourselves how outspoken Christ was immediately after having given us the Beatitudes, which are the eight norms of how we are to behave. Then he told his disciples, and through them was telling us, "You are the light of the world. Your light must shine yet the imperative verb must shine in the sight of men, so that seeing your good works, they may give the praise to your Father in heaven. And then just before his ascension, Christ's deafening promise and demand, "You will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses," which, as I never tire telling people, means you will be my martyrs, even to the ends of the earth. Our salvation depends on our giving others a good example. So I thought we'd ask ourselves, with that introduction, three questions. What is good example? Why is good example necessary? And how can we improve our apostolate of good example? What is good example? It is a life lived according to the teaching and example of Jesus Christ. It is the witness we give to Christ before the world. He went to great lengths to manifest himself while he was visibly on earth. The angels at Bethlehem, that was quite a manifestation. The Magi, by a star, again, quite a manifestation. At his baptism in the Jordan, the whole Trinity was involved in the manifestation. But now that he has left the world in visible form, someone had better continue giving the manifestation. Who else but those who claim to be his followers? Concretely and very specifically, what is good example? It is our practice of humility and charity, patience and obedience, chastity and prayer, patterned after the virtues of Jesus. Why is good example necessary? Notice we're not merely asking, why is good example useful or beneficial or recommended? But why is it necessary? It is first of all necessary in order to make our faith credible to others. There is nothing more powerful to show others that we profess to believe that our faith should indeed be believed than the fact that we are living what we profess. As conversely, there is nothing that gives worse counterwitness than if we don't practice what we preach. Why is it necessary to render our faith credible? Christ's sanctity was the highest motive of credibility of his teaching. That is not a casual sentence. Second reason, it makes our profession of faith acceptable. It is one thing to tell others, this is what we believe. But as we're discovering in today's world, so many of Christ's teachings are hard on human nature. Our living those truths makes them acceptable to others. Third reason, it shows that Christianity, even though we have it sounds like an abstraction. The I-T-Y nouns. Abstractions. Now, Christianity is no abstraction. It's a way of life. Illiterate people can be saints. Academic geniuses can be scoundrels. Fourth reason. It teaches by action and not only by verbal communication. What we hear or read, often moments after we've heard or read something, we forget. Oh, but people, we remember. And we are those people whom others are to remember. Fifth reason. You're still asking, remember, why is good example necessary? Because it incarnates the faith by making the Christian mysteries come to life. After all, that's why God became man. He had been teaching the world for thousands of years before Christ came into the world. By his revelation and by his manifestation of the world of nature. So why did God become man? To make the truths and the moral precepts come to life. You can teach patience for years and no doubt get some of your ideas across to other people. Let a person insult you and you bear the insult patiently. No library on the virtue of patience will be as instructive as that moment's silence under provocation. Sixth reason. Why is good example necessary? Because it makes us conscious of our constant responsibility to others, that we are always to be witnesses to Christ. We are always somehow on display. We are always watched. We are always seen and heard. And our responsibility to witness to Christ is meant to be a lifelong enterprise. Well, giving a good example is a lifelong enterprise from which, needless to say, we never dare take a vacation. In fact, even on our vacations, I did almost say especially on our vacations, are we to continue giving a good example? Why give a good example? Because it merits grace for others. I save the big reasons for the end. Got one more to go. We believe on faith that every good work we perform in the state of grace, we don't have to be conscious of it, we don't have to be thinking about it, provided I perform a good work, whatever it is, in the state of grace, inevitably, infallibly, I merit grace for others. For myself, but for our purpose, always also for others. Listen to this. That's why God has us around when certain people, well, pardon the verb, happen to see us. It's all part of God's providence. We merit grace for them, for the mind. Their minds are enlightened. We merit grace for their will. Their wills are strengthened. In His ordinary providence, God gives grace through others. That's a most valuable principle of the spiritual life. Others are channels of grace for us. Now we're talking to ourselves. We are to be those channels for others. Finally, good example, or better, the awareness of our responsibility to give good example, places us on guard to work at our own sanctity. no one, but holy people make other people holy, period. And if I have, as I have, a responsibility for helping others become holy, well, I better get busy. One more and a big question. How can we improve our apostolate of good example? With apologies for counting everything in sight, but that's the way I'm made. First, strong motivation that this is God's will. God wills it. Wills what? Wills that I always give others a good example. And if I'm not convinced that it's all that important, God knows it is. He tells me it is. Second, daily examination of conscience on the example we have given during the day. What a sobering examination for some people. How many people I've struggled with who are themselves struggling to remain faithful in a marriage, or religious, or priests to their vocation. Torn to the root of their being because of the bad example they are getting in their own home, rectory, or convent. Some people are so blasé. I don't know whether they think that other people are blind or that there's some kind of a cloud hovering around them. We have a powerful impact on other people. A daily examination of conscience. Third, try to be always aware that you're on display. Because we are. Fourth, control feelings of false humility that I'm acting in the corner of my eye. Am I being watched? Forget it. Keep close to the Lord and then be yourself. But I made a fool of myself. Silly, that's what God wanted. You know, you can give a good example by making a fool of yourself. Oh, it's what happens the moment you make a fool of yourself that gives either the good or the bad example. Oh, the stories I could tell. But I have more theology to share with you. Fifth recommendation. Plan each day with an awareness of how my conduct will affect others. some people it never occurs to them. He or she will be there. What will they think? Then you revert back to the previous recommendation. But I'm trying to edify others. Well, you're supposed to. That's what "You Are the Light of the World" is all about. You better edify others. Sixth, realize that I'm a channel of God's grace to other people. We touched on it before, but to make yourself conscious during the day. My conduct, if it is good conduct, will be a source of grace. My misconduct, hear it, in the presence of others, is always, hear the adverb, always a temptation to others. At least a temptation to anger. Seventh, become familiar with the lives of the saints. Whom then? I try to imitate. Come to think of it, that's why the church under divine guidance canonizes saints. So we might go back and reflect on their good example and, with the help of God, do likewise. Eighth, the recommendation. In case you're wondering how many we've got, 10. Keep especially in mind that our speech is the single most revealing aspect of our character. The proverb, "Speak so I may know who you are," is as true today as centuries ago when the expression was first coined. Reread the letter of St. James, especially the third chapter, about the tongue. We say something in a moment of peeve. A moment later, we forget. Oh, but not the person whom we hurt. Ninth recommendation. Purify our minds by making a momentary act of the love of God. Whenever I am doing something praiseworthy. Why do that? So you'll continue doing your praiseworthy action, but purify it from the least stain of vanity or self-complacency. Finally, cultivate the habit of doing certain things that I know are pleasing to God, and allow no exceptions to my practice, no matter what anyone may think or say. Let me repeat my 10th recommendation. Cultivate the habit of doing certain things that I know are pleasing to God, and allow no exceptions to my practice, no matter what anyone may think or say. human respect is a terrible deterrent to giving others the good example that God wants us to give them. Lord Jesus, you told us that you are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the way because of the example you gave us of how we should behave. Give us the light to see, dear Jesus, that you are leading souls to yourself through us, and mainly by the example we give others who, seeing us, will know you better, love you more, and serve you more faithfully. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.